This is In Focus, the weekly public affairs program from KTBB and the Team Sports Radio, featuring members of the local community working to make East Texas a better place.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Lonnie Johnson, and welcome to another episode of In Focus, heard weekends on KTBB 97.5 and KRWR, the Team 92.1. You can join us each week as we interview those who help Tyler and Longview residents make their life better. And as always, you can reach out to us at KTBB.com/InFocus. This week, my guest is Eloise Greist, and she is with the Children's Park, which is a beautiful little park on Broadway. I think at Dobbs.
Yep.
Dobbs and Broadway is where it's located. Welcome, Eloise.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
So tell us about the founder and how the Children's Park got started here in Tyler.
Yeah, so Jennifer Carson, she's our beloved founder. Unfortunately, lost her second pregnancy with Brayden. She was very close to being full term, and that was in 1999. Soon after, she felt like God was calling her to create a safe place and a space for people like her, grieving families, to come alongside and know that they're not alone in their grief, and just to have a way to process their grief, because as a society, we don't really know what to do with those uncomfortable feelings in general.
Just the story, honestly, made me uncomfortable. Not, I don't mean it in a bad way, and I don't want to focus on it.
No.
But just talking about that is so serious.
It's so serious. And our previous generations, like, they don't know what to do with it, and they would just shove it aside and not to deal with it. But so many people, that you need to process it in a healthy way to move forward in a healthy way. And so we like to say hurt people hurt people. We don't like to say that, but that's true. And so, like, we want to be the people that we deal with our emotions and move forward and bless others with our stories instead of, hurting them with unresolved grief and anger and all the things. And so so Jennifer never envisioned building a park. She was a physical therapist, and but she really felt like God was calling her to this place. And so she just, it was just amazing how different people in the community came alongside her and helped her get the donations, and several of them have passed on since. So this was 20 years ago that the park actually, this year's our 20th anniversary, and so the Children's Park has actually been. But even before the park started, she started a support group called Glory Babies, and a lot of people have heard of that, but they didn't know that it was associated with the Children's Park, and that's all Jennifer Carson, our beloved founder. And so they started probably within like 2000, 2001, and then they got the ball rolling and started the park. And so some of the donors that were around, CC Baker was a big part of that. And so we have a little house on the property called Allison's House, and it's named after his daughter. And he was...
Is that the one that sits right, the first house on Dobbs?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yep, little
right.
Red brick home there, right by our parking lot.
If you're looking for it, it's a dark red brick home.
Mm-hmm. And Jeff Buford was another huge person that was so generous and kind. And he loved our park. And those bears that are there, all of them are connected to him in some fashion. And just Fred Smith was a huge part in getting us connected to people that loved our mission and wanted to donate to it. So those are just a few of the people.
When the interview began, before we went on the air, you kind of talked, I kind of realized that this is about more than a plot of land.
Yeah.
It's much more than that. As we get there, though, let's discuss that little part of land and maybe some of the statues, the significance of them in the park. What's the significance of the bears?
I don't know why they necessarily landed on bears per se, but those are related to just...
Look like stuffed bears, too, by the way. Like, not giant, big bears with gnarly teeth. They're teddy bears.
Yeah, it looks like they're playing. And those are unique to our park. They were created in Vermont and then sent down here. They are in memory of Jeff's nephew, Ross. He was, I want to say, maybe college age or in his 20s, and he went on some grand adventure and he passed away during it. And so those were in memory of him. And then we have the three little, we call them the triplets. Yep. We have the three little bears, baby bears, that are all around our main waterfall, Franklin Falls. And those are in honor of Jeff. So Jeff passed away from cancer in 21, and a group of friends and family gathered enough funds to donate in honor of him. He loved to hunt and fish. And so if you look closely at two of the bears, they have fish, and one has like a frog in a bucket. And so those are in honor of Jeff too. So they're all connected to Jeff Buford.
So is it always a work in progress? Could something always be added to the park?
Absolutely. Yeah, we have people that will. So we have engraved sidewalk stones all throughout the park, and not all of those are children that have passed. Anybody can donate $300 and get a stone, and then we maintain that and take care of them.
Well, let's run down that road real quick.
Yeah.
So to donate.
Yeah.
Let's give your URL out.
Yeah.
So you are.
Yeah, it's thechildrensparktyler.org. And then on the front page.
You said that very quickly.
I did.
Childrensparktyler.org. All right.
I did say that quickly. And right on the front page, you'll see there's like a donate section or where you can go to that and donate. And anybody can make a donation in honor or memory of anybody. And we use that to help maintain the park, but also for like all of our support groups that we do. We do several remembrance events throughout the year. We really try to give people the opportunity to process and find purpose in their grief.
I took my son to play there. We lived in the neighborhood when he was, you know, very small. And I noticed there's just a zen feeling in the park that you get. It's as soon as you walk, you kind of walk down a descending stairway to the park. If I could describe it as well as I can, you walk down a descending stairway, and there you're kind of faced with a very large waterfall, probably about 30 feet tall, that comes down, and you have like a winding creek that goes through it, and it's just enough that a young child can hop over it.
Yeah.
If they need to, or play in it a little bit. And it's just seeing the kids get in that environment and how they just relax.
Yeah.
And that must be rewarding.
Yeah.
Knowing that there's even a space for anyone to relax in 2023.
Yeah,
2024. Right. 2024.
Yeah. Yeah. And the waterfalls that you mentioned, those are related to Neil Franklin, who is one of our judges. And so his family, they lost... they lost Elena. I think she was his niece. And there's a park in Dallas that is actually was the inspiration for us. And it was all his niece. It was called Elena's Park. It's still there. And but then when we got this going, then the Franklin family joined in and got. And I mean, it's in honor of their whole family. But yeah, so there's like a fun little connection there. There's so many stories in that park. I mean, so many families that have been... and again, not all the stones or names. Well, not all the names on the stones are children. I would say probably 75% are children that have passed. But like my family, we just got. So I have four living children and two that we've lost during pregnancy, and we got stones for all six of them. They're near the Big Bears, and it's really sweet for my kids to see their siblings that they never really got to know, and just so I can enjoy the park with my living children, but then I can also, it's a way for me to spend time with my two as well, kind of. So I will probably cry at some point. Yeah, I'm fine.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good.
It's all right. People need to feel.
Yeah.
And I think it's very healthy.
Yeah.
So let's move on from the physical park that I seem to be obsessed with.
No, it's fine.
Okay. And let's talk about your organization and your passion.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah. So we do several different support groups in Allison's house. And it's a tiny little house with a lot of love. And we have one called Glory Babies for anybody who's lost.
Let's back up just a little bit. So Allison House.
Yeah, Allison House.
Let's drill down a little bit on Allison.
Sure. Where
is it? What is it? Why is it?
Yeah, it's that little red brick home that's on the property.
Oh, the property. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. It's the only building we currently own on the property. It's not even 1,000 square feet. It's tiny.
Very small.
But they remodeled it in like about 2014, 2015. So we've had that in our possession. Fun fact, the city of Tyler we have a really great partnership with them, with the park. So before Jennifer even got all the donations, she had asked the city, if we get all the donations, do all the funding, we do all the building, can we gift it to you? and will you accept it and then maintain liability and maintenance of it? And they said yes. And so they help us maintain the park. And they, I mean, we are so grateful. The Parks and Rec Department have been wonderful to work with. Truly, they've really, and but we help as much as we can as a nonprofit. And so some definitely our donations go towards a lot of stuff within the park. But the city, I just have to give a quick shout out to them. They've been wonderful to work with over the last 20 years. But the house is not run by the city. That's our organization's property. And so we maintain that with the deck. That's it's a beautiful upper and lower deck on the back. We have a public bathroom that we maintain and clean and all of that. And so, but inside the house, that's where me and two of my coworkers, we're all part-time. We office out of. Our board meets there. We do a Mother's Day retreat there the day before Mother's Day with a small group of moms. And we do some good cathartic things with them. And that's it's always bittersweet when dealing with grief, but it's more sweet than bitter, I feel like. And then that's where we do all of our support groups. So yeah.
So that's where your support groups meet.
Yeah.
Let's talk about maybe what the benefit of the support groups and why they're so important. Mm-hmm. Just you talking about it a few minutes ago, getting emotional made me emotional. yeah. I think any parent, once you've experienced that love comes before they get there.
It really does.
I think that's real. So what can you offer a couple or a woman to help her get past the grief?
Yeah.
Or do you want to get past the grief? Do you want to embrace the grief?
Yeah, you want to embrace it. And it's never going to fully go away. And you're going to have moments where you're triggered or this or that. And that's okay. We want people to embrace it, because when you embrace the feelings, as uncomfortable as they are, you're able just to move through them quicker instead of trying to shove it down and distract yourself. And that may work for a while, but I'm a great testimony of that, but eventually it'll come back and get you.
So we probably don't hear about a lot of this, right?
No.
Because people internalize the grief and they kind of keep it to themselves.
Yeah.
And I'm no therapist, but I date one, and I can tell you that that's a horrible way to do it. So you offer a program with like sponsors, or how does the program work? I'm not a good example because I'm not
fine.
Married. So
that's fine.
But just a married couple loses a child.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine the sorrow that goes with that.
Yeah.
I've been to a funeral like that, and I maybe one of the saddest occasions I've ever been to. I have certain problems with certain times in life, people leaving. The infant, I want to convince myself that he or she's in a better place and didn't have to mess with this screwed up world.
Right.
The young children bother me, like five or so. And then the next one is probably all the way to when they start their adult life, 17, 18 to 20, you know, is really hard for me.
All of that is
personally.
Hard. All of that is hard. Yeah. And so we have a couple different support groups depending on the age of the child. It's a different conversation than losing, you know, if you lost a 20-year-old, it's a different conversation than losing a baby at 35 weeks pregnancy. You never got to fully know that child in that pregnancy, but you said love comes before they even come. Like you.
Well, certainly for the mom.
And
I think if you're not a piece of crap, it comes when it's born for the dad.
Yes.
I mean, when you actually witness the small little life in front of you.
Yeah.
But I think for,
especially the mom.
I tried very hard not to be the misogynistic old white guy.
Right.
But I think it's, I do, obviously it's more prominent with you guys because you have this soul inside you.
Yeah. It's connected to our body. I mean, I've even heard recently, like, when you have a child in your womb, like their parts of their cells are attached to you forever, like, and vice versa. So like there's this very symbiotic, is that the word? Thing. I mean, you just have a connection no matter how long they were in your womb or not, whether you've had an abortion or a miscarriage or whatever, like you're connected to that baby. And so it's very real. It's very raw. We really try to provide a safe space for people to come and not feel any judgment. They can. We have chocolate and tissues.
Are you faith-based?
We are. We don't. We kind of operate like Chick-fil-A.
Right, but it's weird in 2024, and you almost get sensitive when someone asks you that.
Yeah.
I don't mean it in a bad way, but it's just that touchy. So.
Yeah. I mean, we are very much the heart of our leadership is we all love the Lord, and that's like I think once you meet us, you realize there's something about these people. We have a hope and a peace that is kind of hard to understand sometimes for people that may not know the Lord, but we don't preach at people when they come.
That's what I was getting at, because losing a child and choosing to terminate a pregnancy, mm-hmm. The results are the same.
Yeah.
But the process is different.
Sure.
Clearly. But you would offer help and counseling to someone who had also elected to terminate a pregnancy.
Yeah, we used to pair up with CARE. It stands for Christ-Centered Abortion Recovery and Education, and they do monthly weekend getaways. That sounds like it's like a retreat, but it's a really great way for them women to process their abortions. And they used to meet in Allison's house. This whole last year, we opened it up so that they could have women that would come and talk about it. And all of our facilitators for all of our groups have been people that have experienced whatever that group is for. So for the abortion recovery group, their facilitators were women that understood because they had experienced that as well. And so they have chosen this year to do it at a different location. But we very much love and support whatever they do, because there's a lot of grief and there's a lot of feelings that come after having an abortion. And so, but all of our participants are people that, like Glory Babies, it's for anybody who's lost a child under the age of one, because we have some that have, like, maybe unfortunately lost their baby to SIDS at 3 months, and that happens. And so
sudden infant death syndrome, correct?
Yeah. Or maybe they just had a rare chromosomal disorder and they only got a couple of days with them. And then we have a lot of women who have lost a baby at some point in their pregnancy. And so for like me personally, I had three healthy boys and then almost didn't think that would happen to me. And then I got pregnant with a fourth and lost that baby at 7 weeks. And that kind of jarred me, but I didn't necessarily thought I needed extra support per se. And then we got pregnant again, heard the heartbeat at 11, 12 weeks, kind of thought at that point, like, all right, we're good. We're golden, right? Like the statistics of losing a baby go down at that point. And then went to our 16-week appointment, and there was no heartbeat. And so we found out it was another boy. And soon after, I heard several people tell me about Glory Babies. And so I call that a holy echo, where I feel like the Lord's trying to tell me something. And so I was just too hard-headed to hear it the first time. And so I went to Glory Babies, met Jennifer, and met the sweetest, kindest group of people ever, who all understood my grief journey that I was just embarking on, and they were all a little bit further ahead. And I could resonate with everybody's story, but all of us had different stories, but our journey was the same. The grief was the same. And so Jennifer became a really sweet mentor of mine at that point. And then now, 4 or 5 years later, it's actually going to be 5 years for the second loss for me in March. And so I'm having that support with Jennifer in the park and going to counseling. We're very pro-counseling. I think it's just been huge for me. I mean, of course, I still have tears here and there, but
you're doing fantastic. I want to give the moment the respect it deserves. And I want to kind of ask some questions.
Sure.
So that might help someone out there if you're in it. But I've got a question. You mentioned you had two.
Mm-hmm.
I remember speaking with different people that have been affected by this in my life, and they typically try again after a loss. So what's that mindset?
Yeah.
Because I'm an easy quitter.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Like if I experience that, I'm out.
Yeah. My husband and I, we very much were afraid to try again.
You also have three
And then we have
boys.
A rainbow baby girl.
Okay.
And so a rainbow baby is a child that you have after a loss. And so had her during the pandemic. Whoo, that was hard. Because you have so much fear and anxiety.
So you tried three times.
Yeah.
After. Okay.
And we very much felt like we were done after having her.
So is it that you... Help me understand that.
For me personally, I actually really loved being pregnant. I know that's not everybody's story, but I loved it. I loved the whole experience. I loved getting to nurse my children, all the things, and just having that relationship with them. I don't know. So I really did love being pregnant. I was getting closer to being, I was 39 by the time I had my daughter. I would not recommend that, but that's how the Lord created our family. And we don't regret it at all, really, truly. She's the best thing we never knew we needed. I love my daughter. It was just really hard to have a child at the end of my 30s. But I knew I was approaching that point where you can only have babies biologically for so long. And I knew that chapter was closing, and I didn't want to give in to that fear and end a season of my life on such a sad note. And so I kind of wanted to tell off my fear and try again. And it took a huge amount of faith. And we kind of stopped trying and just kind of let it be. And so it took about a year for us after we lost Jack to find out we were pregnant with Charlotte.
So in your work with these parents,
yeah,
did you find that like maybe half want to try again?
Most do. A lot do. But there's a lot of fear with that. So we created another support group recently called Rainbow Babies for those that do get pregnant, because not everybody's guaranteed a rainbow baby. Some try and they have fertility issues.
What's a rainbow baby?
It's a child after a loss.
Okay, thank you.
And so not everybody gets to experience that. And so we don't, with Glory Babies, we talk about the babies we've lost and like what we're doing to process and move forward. But there wasn't before I came on, there wasn't really a space. Like once you started showing, you weren't really allowed to come because you can trigger other moms and who want that rainbow baby and then they don't get it. So we're trying to be sensitive to them. So I was pregnant with Charlotte. I found out in February of 2020, right before the world shut down, and then I had her in November. And so literally everybody's trying to push all this other fear on me, and I'm like, I am just so afraid I'm going to lose another child. And so nobody was meeting. I so wished I had a group where I could talk about, you feel crazy at times because you feel this whole gamut, all your joy is like gone. I had so much joy with my boys because I didn't know what that kind of loss was like. And so now I'm like so fearful, and I'm so grateful that I got to go get ultrasounds once a month and all the things because of my geriatric age at that point. So that was a bonus to that. But I got to see her and have that sense of peace. But that was a really hard, hard time for my mental health. Like I had to go to counseling pretty frequently, which was usually over the computer at that point. Like every week I would go because I'm like, I'm not doing well. So I think a lot of people experience that in general during that season, but I especially did being pregnant with her. And so when I came on as the executive director, I was like, we've got to have a group for people to be able to come and process their feelings, because however you lost that previous child, it's terrifying to get pregnant again. And so we want to give people that hope and encouragement, and like, we're there for you. Like, we understand it like nobody else.
It's terrifying because you expect history to repeat itself.
Yes, you're waiting for the other shoe to drop.
We're conditioned to think that way.
Oh, completely. You have PTSD. There's a lot. And what's so cool about the groups is there are people who have almost the exact same story that meet at our groups and didn't know each other beforehand. And then some, like we had two that met, they had very different losses, came to Glory Babies, got pregnant soon after, started coming to Rainbow Babies, realized they both were due a couple weeks apart, and then they had their Rainbow Babies together in July this last year. And so they have this sweet connection that nobody else can understand exactly the way, like what they were just going through together. So it's really, I think just providing a safe space and knowing you're not alone is so powerful. And to knowing you're not crazy, like you're just grieving, like, and that's normal and that's okay. We don't want people to stay there, but we want you to know, like, you're going to be okay. That's what we offer. We offer that hope and encouragement.
Let's give the URL one more time.
Yeah, childrensparktyler.org.
You can use that whether you want to make a donation or whether you need assistance.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful. So as we've done the interview, silly Lonnie is finally kind of starting to figure out how this works. So you basically just help women navigate these situations, yeah. whether to get past the glory baby, mm-hmm. to help embrace the rainbow baby, mm-hmm. if that's their choice.
Yep.
Do you help men also?
Yeah, we do have several husbands that will come.
Or what is the typical male ratio reaction to this? Because I would imagine,
yeah,
similar to the woman, or is mm-hmm. more anger more?
No, there's definitely less men that come, but there are some that come pretty consistently. It depends on the guy. I mean, but I would say definitely men grieve differently, and that's okay. We would love to have a dad's group, and we've had that off and on. It just kind of depends on who the participants are, but.
Do dads typically want to try again?
Some do.
Okay.
Some do and some don't.
But less than the women.
Yes, for okay. sure.
I think it's, yeah. you guys know your bodies.
Yeah.
And you know, I mean, this can happen.
Yeah.
You know, it's such a miracle. That we're talking
yeah.
is a miracle.
It really is. It's a miracle that any of us are born.
Correct. Or continue to live.
Yes.
It really, when you think about the millions of mathematical equations that yeah. have to go on just to get us out of bed,
yeah.
it's unbelievable.
Yeah. And then we do have one more group I need to mention, because if you lost a child over the age of one, it's called Common Ground. Carol and Pat, who lead that group, are some of the most wonderful, lovely women you will ever meet. They said we never would have asked for our daughters to die, but we are so honored to sit with people in their grief. And they just have a really wonderful group that they lead every month. And it's all different stories and all different reasons that their children have passed at different ages, but it's really a precious, precious group. And that can be any age. Like, their daughters were about 18 and about somewhere in their 20s. So, like, I mean, yeah, they both different kind of car
there's
accidents.
There's not a good time.
No, there's never a good time. Just,
I mean, there's not.
But if you need a safe place, a lot of people don't have a safe place or a safe people. Even friends and family, they mean well, but they say dumb things. And they don't mean to, but they try. I was guilty of that before my losses. And I realized, man, what a crappy friend I was.
Sometimes you're well-intended, you yeah. get nervous,
yes.
and you say the wrong thing.
You don't
thing.
Know what to
I'm
say.
I'm king of that.
No, yeah. And so, but there at the children's park, we get it. And there's just something so wonderful being around people that understand. Whatever your story is, I think when you tell other people your story, you have the gift of going first, because you never know who else is going to be impacted and experience something similar, whatever your story is. And so we get the joy and the honor of doing that. And then we do remembrance events in the park, and that's just wonderful. And everything has grown immensely in the last year. Like, we had 272 children's names at the end of our day of remembrance that we honored and said out loud and did a butterfly release for, and we made these angel ornaments for. In the past, we've never had more than 170. And so that was like a 60-some percent increase, which was incredible. Bittersweet. It's exciting and sad. I think more and more people realizing. And it's children of all ages, too. It's like a 40-year-old. Well, yeah, their mom, who's if she's still around, she still wants to
yeah,
honor
that's what
that
my mom
life.
Says. You'll always be my baby.
Yeah, you know? It's the same thing. So we are incredibly honored that we get to do this for our community. And I think it's exciting to know that people are realizing that we're more than just a park. We love our park, but we're more than just a park.
Okay, let's give the URL one more time.
Children'sParkTyler.org.
And it's a place that you can go if you're grieving, mm-hmm. Really a loss of a child of any age, mm-hmm. where you can go, where you'll find empathetic people, a beautiful kind of quiet surrounding. You can sit on that back porch and look out over the park. Mm-hmm. And if it's not 5 o'clock or 8 o'clock in the morning, it's fairly serene.
It is.
And sweet. And it's a fantastic organization, a fantastic property. Personally, I thank you quite a bit for what you guys do.
Thank you.
And if there's anything I can ever do to help,
thank you.
If you'd like to be back on again,
of course.
Or possibly have someone that might come and share their story, just
oh,
like
yeah.
you have.
Yeah. Because we would love that.
It's outstanding.
We would love that. Thank you.
That's
thank
fantastic.
You for having us.
Yeah. Got anything planned for the new cold coming up?
Oh, gosh, no. But we do have a run coming up in May. So, yeah, it's called a remembrance run.
And oh,
so,
great.
Yeah. So anybody can walk or run in memory of anybody they've lost. And it's
and when right is this?
Park. May the 4th. It's our fourth year. So May the 4th.
And does it start at the Children's Park?
It starts at the Children's Park. We're going to advertise it soon. Okay. It's all around the neighborhood, around the park. So, yeah, okay. Look us up on Facebook.
How far? Is it a
5K? Yeah.
Okay. Three miles. Okay.
And we do a kids dash.
Okay.
And we'll start promoting it on Facebook soon and our website. So yeah, definitely.
Well,
check
I'm
us
almost
out.
60, so I'll walk in it.
Yeah. Okay. Perfect.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Lonnie.
All right. Have a great week.
Yeah,
and
thank you.
We'll visit again soon.
Okay. Sounds good.
In Focus is a weekly public affairs program featuring members of the local community working to make East Texas a better place. In Focus is produced by KTBB and the team's Sports Radio. And we thank you for listening. Join us again next week.